SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you.
Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here. As a solo mission here, no Joe, out on assignment. So you get just me tonight. Oh man, the wind's starting to whip in Hawaii too. It is whipping. They got about 30 surfers out there. The flag is just flying at this one hole they're showing. Nice wind. A lot of wind here for these guys finishing up these last couple of holes. Let's go. We mentioned right before the last break that the Rangers have scored again. It is 4-1 Rangers now.
4-1
Rangers 4-1. Over the Blackhawks.
Extend.
Hopefully Nashville and Montreal and who else am I on? Boston can do the same thing. In the NBA, 79-75, the Bucks lead the Spurs. That's about midway through the third quarter. So Bucks minus 7.5, 252.5 is the total there. And then you, of course, have in the college a lot of the early games starting to wind down. Right now, James Madison, who's undefeated, is down one at the Raging Cajuns of Lafayette. Memphis at the half is up 14 on Tulsa. Right now, we welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here. Lots of football this hour, several other things that we have to discuss as well. Mike Carver, no Joe Lisi tonight, the encyclopedia. He is on assignment, but he will be joining us later this hour because we're going to do the picks tonight for Week 18. So we have that going on as well here on Carver and Lisi. All right, Week 18 in the NFL. And clearly, as we were saying earlier, it's a tough board to look at. It always is when you get to the last week of the season. Some things have changed. Some numbers have changed. Because as you get later in the week, you start to get more information, right, in terms of who's going to play, who's not going to play. The quarterback stuff comes out pretty early, but then the other injuries to other key guys or teams sitting key guys, it starts to trickle out even further as you get through Thursday and then through Friday, getting closer to kick. The one thing that I thought was kind of interesting, because this is, you know, Thursday's usually a day where numbers do start to move a little bit because of all of that information that you start to gather. All week, the Bills were three-point favorites. So far all week, three-point favorites in Miami on Sunday night. Of course, the final game of the NFL regular season, which will determine the AFC East, and depending on what happens with the Steelers and the Jaguars, is going to determine the Bills' fate as well, potentially, if they get into the playoffs or not, because the Bills are in a very funky situation where there's a chance, and I feel a pretty decent chance, that they might walk into Hard Rock on Sunday night, either leaving as the 2 seed or going home altogether, which is a pretty drastic drop in potential things that can happen. There's no middle ground for them, potentially no trapdoor. You know, but hopefully the Ravens or the Titans can provide them one before they even take the field, because they're gonna give max no matter what. That's too important. Winning the division, getting the two, getting potentially two home games, but going from 3 to 2.5. You know, the Dolphin injury situation really didn't get much better. You know, there was some stuff about Tua early in the week. I never really thought there was a chance that he was going to be involved with not playing in this game, and he's perfectly fine. But Raheem Mostert, Jalen Waddle, and Xavier Howard all didn't practice on Thursday, second straight day. The Tyreek Hill absence was for personal reasons, obviously, with what he's got going on, with the fire that he had at his house, which thankfully nobody was injured in. But this Dolphin injury report is pretty lengthy. They had a lot of guys limited as well. You know, Achan's going to be fine, but he was limited. Javon Holland was limited. Armstead limited. I mean, these guys are going to play, but there's a lot of banged up guys going around. They listed Tua with the quad and the left shoulder, but he was a full participant. So, Bills only have, they have Allen on there for his neck, but he was a full participant. Micah Hyde's still listed there too. He was a full participant. He hasn't played the last few weeks. Von Miller was on there for vet rest on Wednesday. He didn't even play at all against New England last week. The Bills are clearly the healthier team going into this game. Josh Allen destroys the Miami Dolphins. Miami's just battered everywhere. Offense, defense, doesn't make a difference. And maybe this is just me sounding because I'm a Bills fan. Maybe if I wasn't, I would be looking at this game a little bit differently and thinking, Bills have been a better team. They've won four games in a row. The last, you know, really the last six or seven games is when they've picked up their season, when they chopped Dorsey and put Brady in as the OC. They've changed what they've done. McDermott solidified the D after some key injuries early in the year. But nothing's been easy for them this year. Nothing has been easy. And I don't like how much there's been all this talk about how easy this is going to be for Buffalo on Sunday night. I don't see that at all. I don't see this game being easy for them. Have they handled the Dolphins a lot in the Allen era? They sure have. They smoked them earlier this year in Buffalo. You know, they beat them in the playoffs last year in Buffalo. Now Skylar Thompson was playing quarterback, and it was a sweat. You know, last year they lost in Miami to them. That was the one loss of those last 11 games. You know, and Allen has beaten them up. I think the Bills' recipe here is, especially with how bad the Dolphin front is right now, is they got to do the kind of things that they did in the Cowboy game. They got to do the kind of things they did in Kansas City. You know, going out, playing physical football, running the football, whether that's a combination of Cook and Allen, or just Cook because Allen's going to be too banged up to take those kind of shots. And he did take a pretty good shot at the end of that game against the Patriots on Sunday. But the Bills have kind of become a running team. Throwing's kind of been second for them these last 6 weeks. I mean, Stephon Diggs has done absolutely nothing. I think they're going to win. That's an interesting move down to 2.5. Total's gone down another point, too, to 48.5. I think that's a dead under on Sunday night. Now, as I said here, I sure hope it's like all the other Bill Dolphin games the last 3 or 4 years. And that's Josh just absolutely thumping him. But I just don't think that that's going to happen. As banged up as the Dolphins are, I got a feeling that they're going to be very much in this game on Sunday night. You're going to get a good one for sure. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We'll come back. A lot more to do on the grid right after this.
I'd appreciate it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sabotage. Carver and Lisi. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you, only Carver, sans Lisi, as he's out on assignment. He might be stopping by in a little while, though. We shall see. We've got Hit Burbell in the mix. Let me ask you this, Matias, as I'm about to ask you to give me the big blueprint for how, or you pump me up into thinking that the Falcons can somehow win the NFC South this weekend. When's two things for you in the fight game, which you, of course, are very good with. When's the next fight? I feel like we haven't had a fight in a while. When's the next fight?
Not this weekend, but next weekend, January 13th in Vegas, Ankalaev versus Walker, Johnny Walker. That is the main event.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. Magomed Ankalaev and Johnny Walker. Hey, but there's some scrappy fights. There's some scrappy fights. You know, when I look over the card in general, it's gonna be a scrappy card. You know, there will be blood and guys will be getting knocked out. That's for sure. But
so this is a fight night card. This is a fight night card. Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Okay.
ESPN Plus.
Your boy, get me a shot at Johnny Walker's a 3-1 dog in that main event. Get me a shot. Yeah, Walker.
I do not advise to take Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker's okay, going to get smoked in this fight. No, Ankalaev is.
When's the next good fight?
The weekend right after. Wait. UFC 297. UFC's 297. Strickland versus Duplessis.
Oh, those are two guys that were fighting each other in the crowd last time? When those guys fighting
exactly.
In the crowd?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, for the middleweight championship belt of the world.
Good setup for that fight. Have those guys throwing with each other. And I saw McGregor say that he's going to fight Michael Chandler. But that's not official, though, right?
No. It's not official until the UFC puts it out there.
Dana
makes,
says it's
makes it official.
Dana hasn't
exactly.
said it's official. They have a line for that fight.
The line should be McGregor favored.
Oh, he's favored, which I don't think he should be favored, but he's favored.
Well, he's fighting another guy like Chad Mendes. You know, when you look back to Conor McGregor's featherweight when he won the interim belt in featherweight, that he's fighting a wrestler in Chad Mendes, who has a very, very similar size and style to Chandler's.
Yeah,
so,
but
the blueprints
guys don't fight anymore. How can he be favored over anybody?
Hey, but at the same time, I know what you mean, but Chandler hasn't really been fighting for the last since how long has he not fight? He's waiting it out. Conor's pretty much making him become, you know, stiff. Chandler hasn't fought since he lost.
And that's supposed to be on July 28th, they have listed here. Is that when that fight would be? That's actually my birthday, so, you know, Conor McGregor fight my birthday, and I'll bet on I made a lot of money on Conor McGregor in my day. But not recently, as we know, Matthias. It's been a long time since you were able to make any money off of Conor McGregor.
I don't think he's won since Cowboy.
Yeah, and that was a joke. Fighting a tomato can when he came back. All right, Falcons. So they need the Bucks to lose, and then they have to beat the Saints. I can't believe we're even talking about this. The long and winding road that we have had for this Atlanta Falcons season. But they somehow still have a pulse to win this division. Let's start it this way. I won't even get to their game. Do you actually think the Bucs lose to the Panthers on Sunday?
Anything is possible in the NFC South. You know,
he's got it. Anything is, it can happen.
You know why? Because the Carolina defense, it depends who shows up to play. And the only reason I say that is because it's the last game of the season. So it's the last game of the season to actually tell your fans, look, we're going to do better next year. Sorry about this year. So you're going to get an effort from the Panthers, you know, to start the game. And you know, if the ball bounces away and it becomes a football game, you know, anything could happen at the end of a game. You know, as long as they keep it tight. So I just wonder how the Panthers will come out. You know, I do expect them not to lay down. It is an NFC South battle. And if you're a guy that's been following the NFC South for as long as I have, you know that there's a ton of times where a team that's not supposed to win makes a game dirty and grimy, and it just gets battled until the end. And it's like, oh, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. And that, you know, that's the story of the NFC South. That's why it's been so inconsistent for so long, Carver. You know, you just can't trust anybody. Let's get real. The last time you could trust somebody in the South was when the Bucks with Brady for quite some time. But before that, you couldn't trust the Bucks. And then Drew Brees when he was with the Saints.
I think the line says that they can win the game. I mean, this isn't a line of a touchdown or 10 or 14. Like, it's 4.5. And I think that a lot of that has to do with listening to Baker Mayfield and Todd Bowles this week. I think he's a lot more hurt than they're letting on. And he's got a rib injury. All that's going to take is one shot, and he could potentially be out of that game. And then you got it in the hands of Kyle Trask, which, you know, God bless you. So I'm just going to tell you, Matias, I actually think you have a little bit of life from this end of the leg. I think that there is
life.
A chance that the Panthers could beat the Bucks because it is the NFC South, and a lot of stupid things happen when those teams play each other, all four of them, in that division. Now that takes, if that actually happened, down in New Orleans, the Falcons will be there. 3-point dogs against the Saints, 42.5 is the total. I mean... go ahead, Matias. Tell me how they're going to win this game.
Oh, Carver, I don't know if I can tell you how they're going to win this game, to tell you the truth, because the Saints are going to be out for blood. They're on a winning streak. They started their whole little playoff run type of thing. So you know that they're going to come out looking for revenge, especially with what happened in Atlanta the last time they played, where the Saints were actually came off to a hot start until Derek Carr threw that pick, and that pick six turned the game around and gave Atlanta all the life. I think this time the Saints come out hot. But, you know, my question is, how healthy is Alvin Kamara? Is Kamara going to play? You know, at what level does he play at? Because he's usually the guy that does the damage to the Atlanta Falcons when they play. So without him, the Falcons do have a little bit of life. You know, I just wonder how Heinicke plays. He has an injured ankle, but at the same time, you know, Heinicke hasn't been playing at that level that everybody thinks he's going to play at now that he's a starter and Ridder has been moved to the bench. I saw a lot of inconsistent play from him since he's been the starter as well. So it's going to be a tough one, Carver. And Atlanta's all banged up on the offensive line as well. They're not all super healthy as well. Jesse Bates is hanging on by a thread with that defense, but you know, it's going to be a tough game in New Orleans. I don't think the Falcons win. Let's get real. I think the Saints play some of their best football with or without Kamara.
I mean, Heinicke couldn't even throw one ball to Kyle Pitts last week. He didn't have a catch.
You know, at some points, you got to look at the coaching staff. You got to look at the coordinator. You got to look at the routes that these receivers are running.
Oh, believe me, I'm looking at the coaching staff because they've got guys who have some talent out there, and they just do not put them in the right positions whatsoever. I find it very hard to try to back Atlanta here, Matias. I'm sorry. I do. I find it very hard. I will not be anywhere near this game.
There's no reason to say sorry.
I'll be nowhere near this game. Nowhere near.
You said it the other day when we started going down Atlanta's losses. You know, the loss of the Vikings, the loss of the Commanders. The list goes on where they gave these games away. Oh, because the Cardinals, another one, yeah. Just terrible losses. They don't deserve to go to the playoffs.
Just imagine they win that Panther game. They'd have a win more. Like, it's just, I think if they won that Panther game, they would have been the win and get in this week in the NFC South. Just one of those games. Just an awful job by them. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. All right. Couple more of these games here, and I think we're going to do Joe next segment, and we'll go through the picks for week number 18. And one of these games on Saturday, which is going to kick week 18 off, is, of course, the Steelers and the Ravens in Baltimore. Steelers have a scenario where they obviously need to win their game, and then they need, in the most simplest path, either the Jaguars or the Bills to lose. And if one of those two teams loses, they will find themselves in the AFC playoffs, which is pretty ridiculous considering a few weeks ago they lost to the Cardinals and the Patriots at home in a four-day span and what seemed like ended their season. But then Mason Rudolph brought them back from the dead in the last couple weeks against Cincinnati and Seattle. And sure enough, here they are. With a pulse. The Ravens have everything locked up, as we know. They got nothing to play for. They are the one seed. They're going to be off for the wild card weekend. So they don't need to play anybody. And that's precisely, in terms of importance, what they're going to do. There will be no Lamar Jackson in this game. It'll be Tyler Huntley. And there's going to be even more than that if you look further. On the Ravens side, give me one second here. We're going to punch this up because it is lengthy. for what they have. As far as declared out, Odell Beckham Jr. out. He's not going to play. Lamar Jackson out. Cornerback Marlon Humphrey out. Linebacker Malik Harrison out. DB Daryl Worley out. Kevin Zeitler out. Their guard. They have other guys, too, who are pretty close to probably not playing. Zay Flowers, doubtful. I wouldn't play him. Kyle Hamilton, questionable. He was limited on Thursday. Full practices for a few of these other guys like Van Noy and Patrick Queen, etc. But the Ravens, look, here's the one thing about when you talk about teams sitting their best guys. Somebody's got to play. All right, you can't sit all 22 starters. It just doesn't, you know, you could try to, I guess, a little bit, but it just doesn't work. The one thing about the Ravens in this spot is there's a few things. Number one, Tyler Huntley's played a lot of quarterback the last 2 years with Lamar Jackson being hurt. He's played in a lot of fairly big games. Now, this isn't a big game for the Ravens by any stretch, but this is a game where these two teams absolutely hate each other. They do. It's one of the true, there ain't many left in the NFL, but it's one of the real true rivalries where the teams still hate each other, the fans hate each other, everything. It is deep. And these games are always close. Always close. Warren Sharp gave Scotty a great number on Thursday on Coast to Coast about the dog in this series has covered, I think it was 12 out of 15, somewhere around there. Always a low-scoring game. Always a close game. The Steelers are going to start Mason Rudolph again. They have a couple of guys that are on their injury report as well. But for the most part, the Steelers are going to be okay. In fact, their latest injury report on Thursday, let's take the Steeler one here. Minka Fitzpatrick, questionable. Trenton Thompson, safety, questionable. Najee Harris did full practice. He didn't practice on Wednesday, practice on Thursday. T.J. Watt, limited. He's just rest. He's playing. Cam Hayward, groin, limited. So they have a few guys, but they're going to be out there. Bottom line is this. I don't think the Steelers are walking into Baltimore on Saturday late afternoon. And just because the Ravens have everything wrapped up, the Steelers are just going to ho-hum win 27-3. I just don't see that whatsoever in this game. These teams aren't built like that. This rivalry hasn't been built like that. There's been games between these two where one team was good, one team was bad late in the year. There's been games between these two teams where one team is playing for nothing, the other is. It's always a game. Now, I'm rooting for the Ravens to win for my own selfish reasons. But that aside, Ravens plus the 4 for me is absolutely where I'll be looking. Totals tick down to 35.5 at this point. But I think Tyler Huntley and whoever's going to be out there, maybe Edwards is going to play, who knows, Justice Hill. They just signed Dalvin Cook the other day. So now suddenly not that Dalvin Cook's going to be out there on Saturday, but they don't have to worry. They got a lot of running back depth now with the Ravens. And you watch that Cook signing. He'll have some big moment for them in the playoffs. You just know that he will. The guy's basically been sitting in mothballs with the Jets the last 3 months. He's going to end up having some big run or some big game for the Ravens at some point, score a big touchdown. It's going to happen. You can book that. But as far as this Saturday goes, I'm in on the Ravens. I mean, we're seeing right now 62% of the money, 69% of the bets are with me. They're on the Ravens as well, but I'm going to back them at home. And the Steelers have broken out offensively the last 2 weeks, but they were a real bad offensive team the 14 games before that. So there's a chance that they could revert to those at any time. This is the NFL. We've seen some, like I said, it was only 3 or 4 weeks ago we saw them against Arizona and New England look as bad as they did. Mason Rudolph, not exactly Joe Montana, as good as he looked the last 2 weeks. So I'll take the 4 with Baltimore in that spot. Elsewhere, more bad quarterbacks all over the place. Let's listen to the ATS for some of these guys. It is completely pathetic here. Here we go. Of the quarterbacks that are going to be playing this week, some of these starters. Jeff Driskel for the Browns, 0-3-1 against the spread. Nick Mullins, who's going to start again now, he's obviously been in quite a bit for Minnesota. They sat him last week and played Jaren Hall. What a mistake that was. But Nick Mullins has been 3-7-1 as a starter against the spread. This is all in the last 5 years. Trevor Siemian, 1-7 against the spread. Sam Howell, 7-9-1. Carson Wentz, 23-30. Wentz is going to start for the Rams. You got some real tough. You got Blaine Gabbert against Easton Stick. Sam Darnold against Carson Wentz. This is week 18 in the NFL, baby. Nick Mullins. Anyone else you want to roll out? Jeff Driscoll. Tough scene. It's a tough scene.
Let's not forget about Heinicke.
Yeah, you know. That's a little different just because the guy got benched. This is more, these teams are playing for nothing, a few of these, and they're just putting these absolute hacks on the field. It's amazing, though, because you made a good point. Heinicke, and I guess he was hurt going into that game against the Bears, but he looked awful in that game. He was awful in that game against the Bears.
Carver, he looked awful in Arizona. He got the start in Arizona until he got hurt. I was there. Yeah. He didn't play any good there either. And I was expecting him to light it up with Drake London. So, you know what? At some point, like I said, the coaching staff.
You want Russell Wilson?
Yeah. You know what? I'm not sure. My heart says yes, but at the same time, I'd rather just get a new coach.
I think you'd be best suited to get a new coach and a new quarterback altogether.
I think Justin Fields is the main prize. I think that's what everybody in Atlanta wants.
I think that guy Poles is going to screw that up in Chicago. I think he's going to find a way to screw that up. I think that he's going to end up keeping him. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean her Fields isn't going to be bad, but I think that I don't know. That's a very tough call. And I think whatever way it goes, he's going to screw it up. I don't have a lot of faith in him as a GM. So we'll see. But that's your number one target. If he was available, that's who you want. You want Justin Fields.
Not exactly who I want, but it seems like that is what the contingent in Atlanta wants. Everybody has been clamming, wanting Justin Fields since draft day. So the fact that they didn't get him on draft day, it's like they've been waiting for him ever since.
Well, wait a second. That year he was taken, then they could have took him that year. Right? What was this? Hold on one second here. That was the year the Bears obviously traded up with the Giants to get him that year. But didn't the Falcons have a high pick that year? Hold on, I got.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Was that the Pitts year? I'm trying to load it up right here real fast, Matthias. I'm trying to get it in.
Me too. I should think of this off the top of my head, but
you should know. Draft is never. You've had so many high draft picks lately that I can understand why.
A lot of high draft busts. I gotta say, man, they could have got T.J. Watt and they didn't get Watt.
So you could have had him. Right there at number four. You picked fourth that year, Kyle Pitts. You could have had Justin Fields in that draft. A lot of teams could have. Bears got him at 11th after they traded up with the Giants. Yeah. I think you're going to end up keeping him. That's what I think. I think they're going to trade the top pick. Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah! And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM 159. Great to have you with us here, Carver sans Lisi, tonight, as he's on assignment. But even when we're on assignment, we still have to get the NFL picks in for this week. So I give to you the encyclopedia of college football, the one, the only, Go Fernatune, Joe Lisi. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Carver. Let me just say this. I'm not about to crown your ass. You are who I thought you were. You are who I thought you were. And I'm coming after you in week 18 of the NFL season. That's all I'm going to say.
You can come after me, Joe, but I've already clinched the win. I've already clinched it I clinched it last week, but I've already clinched it. You can't catch me.
I can't catch you. I can't catch you. What I can do, though, Carver, is do what all great coaches and great cappers do. Sweep the board. Nobody remembers the first 17 weeks. They only remember the last week. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to beat you like a drum this weekend. Beat you like a drum.
All right. Here we go. The Carver and Lisi Week 18 NFL selections. So here we go. The final week of the regular season. It's been a long and winding road. Joe has come down the stretch here with 1, 2, 3, 4 straight 1-3 weeks to put him at 35-32-2 on the season. I had my first under 500 week in a very long time last week. I was 1-3, but I'm still 40-26-3 for the year. As we get ready for a very tough week to cap, week 18 in the NFL. Joe, pick number one.
Well, you got to go to the bell cows. The bell cows, the people that got you there each and every week. We're going to Foxborough. Belichick, he's one of the best coaches all time. I call him Belichick. Could be his last game as head coach in New England. But one thing I do know, he beats the New York Jets down better than anybody. 15 straight, make it 16 straight. Laying a point and a half, we're going to run it right down Robert Salas. You know what? Belichick is great. Salas sucks. Patriots, double-digit win in Foxborough.
Wow, how about that? Double-digit win to potentially send Bill out the door in New England. All right, Joe, pick number one for me. I like to keep it very simple here in this last week. I don't want to get involved, for the most part, with teams or games that involve teams that have absolutely nothing to do with it, like you just did. God bless you. You want to play the pass at the Jets? Go ahead and have a good time. I'm looking for games, Joe, where I know one or both teams specifically have something on the line. And boy, do you have that on Saturday night in Indianapolis. As the Texans and the Colts get together, the winner will be in the AFC playoffs no matter what. And maybe they could win the division depending on what happens with Jacksonville on Sunday. Right now, Joe, Texans -1.5. C.J. Stroud, Gardner Minshew on the other side. I've been kind of with this all year with you. These Colt games at Lucas Oil have been overs. Over machines, these Colt games at Lucas Oil. And I think we get that again on Saturday night. I actually don't particularly care who wins. I don't even want to get involved with who wins. But over 47.5 for me Saturday night in a game where I think both teams will score. A lot on the line. Over 47.5, Texans and Colts for me, Joe. Pick number one.
Okay, hero. I think I gave you that pick. I said I like the over. That's all right.
You gave me that pick.
I think that'll be. I think that'll hit for you. That'll be your one win this weekend. All right, I'm going to the bell cows, Carver. Okay, you love Baker Mayfield. You love this Tampa Bay team with Todd Bowles. All they got to do is win, and they win the division. But they're playing the Carolina Panthers. Something smells with this line. This line should be 6. This line should be 7. Texans 4.5. Something does. doesn't seem right. Carolina plays Tampa. Very tough. They lost 21-18 last time. Bryce Young breaks out. Carolina. Outright. Outright. Over Tampa Bay. And the whole NFC South is up for grabs. Outright.
All right, Joe, I'm going to give you a chance to make up a game, even though you can't catch me anyway. That was one of my picks. I'm going to pick something else.
No.
So I'm going to go, I'll go to something else.
Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to take Carolina, but I'm going to go to something else. I'm going to go to the other game on Saturday right now. Steelers and the Ravens. Blue-collar football. A rivalry unlike any other. One of the last few true rivalries left in the NFL where both teams hate each other. Steelers need a win to keep their playoff hopes alive. And it sounds like, Joe, people think the Steelers are just going to walk into M&T Bank Stadium on Saturday and ho-hum 27-3 the Ravens. I don't think that's going to happen whatsoever. Tyler Huntley's played more than enough football for me the last 2 years to know that he can win some football games. There's going to be some guys out there who can play. They can't sit everybody. Their main guys are going to be sitting, obviously. There's no Lamar. There's no Zay Flowers. No Humphrey on D. There's a few guys out. But I think there's going to be enough out there to keep this game close and maybe even send the Steelers home very sad as well. I'm on the Ravens, Joe, plus four against Pittsburgh Saturday at home, first game of the weekend.
All right, let's go ahead, Dad. Let's go ahead, Dad, because I know I'm coming after you. Green Bay, all they got to do is win and get in the playoffs. They're playing a very hot Chicago Bears team, but they're on the road. Green Bay won this game 38-20 in week one. Justin Fields threw some interceptions. Jordan Love broke out. Jordan Love, one of the best quarterbacks over the last 7 or 8 weeks of the regular season, averaging around 284 passing yards per game. They beat down O'Connell in Minnesota last week. They're going to run it. They're going to throw it. Here's the other thing, too, Garver. LaFleur, much better head coach than that hump Eberflus. Okay? We're going to beat them like a drum. Double-digit win. A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, Jordan Love, Jaden Reed, Green Bay, 10-point win over Chicago, and they're in the playoffs.
Wow, 10-point win, Joe says. 10-point win over Chicago. How about that? All right, for me, next. Where can we go here, Joe? All right, I kind of like this one. I'm going to go with it. The Cowboys are into Washington to take on the Commanders. They were given an absolute gift last week between the nonsense at the end of the Lion game, which allowed them to win, and the Cardinals beating the Eagles. They can now win the NFC East and have the 2 seed, which would be massive for them to get 2 home games. Joe, I don't want to get involved with this 13.5 because I think there's a bunch of different scenarios here where either Dallas is spotty, or they let up a backdoor cover. One thing that I am pretty sure of here is I'm pretty sure that it's going to be low scoring, Joe. Low scoring. I think either the Cowboys smash them early, get up 20 points, 24-3, and they just run that ball, that clock out, and go home. Or the Commanders hang around in this game. Both teams are, you know, it's 20-17, something stupid like that. But either way, Joe, I think it stays under. Under 47.5, Cowboys in Washington Sunday in Landover.
Okay, hero. Good pick. All right. You know what you are, though? When you win, you're a bully. You know who's a bully? Mike Vrabel. Guess what? I'm not Gentry, Carver, okay? Talk to me. Jacksonville's a bully. Late in the 3.5, they're going to go on the road in Nashville. They're going to run it. They're going to throw it. Travis Etienne got back on track. 100-yard performance. Tennessee is gutless, just like their head coach. He sucks. He's only 9 games over 500. He's a 541 winning percentage. He's past his prime. Jacksonville, double-digit win. on the road in Tennessee. I said it, not you. I'm not Gentry.
I wasn't going to pick that game, but I kind of want to now just to go after you. I kind of want to do it just to
come
go after you.
Come get some.
I was going to take the Bills minus because it fell to 2.5. I was going to take the Bills, give you the big speech, last game of the year. Let's go. I'll finish the job. Rode the hot hand down the stretch here in the pool. But I'm not going to do that, Joe. I'm going to go right after you because I think that that Jacksonville team has been gutless. I think they were lucky that they got to play Carolina at home last week. And just for you, Joe, I will finish the year by taking one more game heads up off of you. Give me Tennessee plus the 3.5. Mike Vrabel yelling at Gentry. You can go yell at him a little bit more after he wins on Sunday. Outright. When the Titans beat the Jaguars. Cool. Titans plus 3.5, Joe.
All right. Let's see how it plays out. Here's my picks. New England minus the 1.5. Carolina plus the 4.5. Green Bay minus the 3. And Jacksonville minus the 3.5. We see picks for Week 18.
I've got Houston and Indianapolis over 47.5, Baltimore plus the 4, Dallas and Washington under 47.5, and Tennessee just for Joe. You see, that's what happens when you have a nice lead and you've already clinched the championship. You could go heads up and try to get Joe annoyed. So that's what I'm going to do here. Tennessee plus the 3.5 over the Jaguars. They'll win the game outright in Smashville on Sunday. There you go, Joe. Nice job. The final week and next week, we, of course, will start the playoffs, and everybody will go back to 0-0 for the playoffs, Joe. So that's a very good thing for you.
Can't wait, Carver. I eat 6 meatballs tonight. Six meatballs.
Six.
With the chicken milanese. Bolanos.
Nice job, Joe. Good job to you. Nice. You got an NBA pick for tomorrow before you get out of here? I'm kidding, Joe. I'm just joking with you. There he is, the Encyclopedia of College Football, Joe Lisi, with the picks, week number 18 here on Carver and Lisi. We'll come back. We'll wrap this puppy up on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you. SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM 159. All right, before we get out of here, there is quite a bit of NBA on Friday night. I mean, quite a bit. Washington's in Cleveland getting 10.5. Cleveland destroyed them the other night. Celtics are laying 14.5 at home to the Jazz. The Hawks are getting 3.5 in Indiana. How about this total? This is, I think, the biggest we've seen all year. I know that there was some 258s, 259s with those Pacer-Buck games. How about 264 for the Hawks and the Pacers on Friday night? Are you kidding me? 264? Thunder are in Brooklyn against the Nets. That's 235. The Knicks and the Sixers. Fascinating game. Sixers minus 6.5 right now to see the new-look Knicks up against Embiid and the crew. That'll be a fun one. Hornets are in Chicago. They've been on the road for weeks. Orlando now is in Denver after the other couple nights losing in Golden State and Sacramento. Clippers are at New Orleans. Pelicans have been playing well. They're one-point favorites there. The Heat are in Phoenix. Toronto is in Sacramento. Pistons are in Golden State against the Warriors. Grizzlies and Lakers late night on a Friday as well. So a very good NBA card. There's a couple of hockey games for you Friday night, including the Blackhawks, who lost to the Garden on Thursday night. Now they go to the Rock to play the Devils. Carolina and Washington. And the Jets are at the Duck Pond after, of course, they play at the Shark Tank late on Thursday night. Now they'll go to the Duck Pond on a back-to-back. There you go. Great job, as always, by Matthias Burbell. Good job by Joe calling in for the picks. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Catch some tickets. We'll see you tomorrow on the grid.